Well, we started a series last week. And as we started that series, we said we were going to be looking at life in the kingdom of God. Life in the kingdom of God. And we looked at the first two Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. And today we want to look at the next one. And we're going to take a look at Matthew 5, verse 5, where Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." What does Jesus mean by the meek? I mean, what does a meek person look like? The word meek is often comes with a negative connotation. A meek person is one who is like a doormat for other people just to walk over. Like, you just push them over. In fact, I read this quite a few years ago in a dictionary that defines meekness as overly submissive or compliant, spiritless, and tame. When I first read that, I thought it said spineless. Oh, it's not up there. I didn't put it up there. But it doesn't say spineless. It says spiritless. That was the definition. And if this is true, if this is how Jesus says someone who is meek, who is a submissive doormat that people walk over, how could they be blessed? I mean, if I'm just a doormat that people walk over all the time, I don't think I'd really feel blessed. And it just doesn't make sense. As we read Jesus saying in Matthew 11, 29, we read him saying, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul." Jesus said, "I am gentle." The Greek word for gentle here is the same Greek word that we just read in Matthew chapter 5 that's translated meek. So Jesus is saying, "I am meek." Do you think Jesus is saying that he was a doormat and he just let people walk all over him? Some might see him as that. But if you read the word, the Bible, and you read about it, you realize that Jesus isn't a doormat. He's meek, but people don't walk over him. That's not the image we have of Jesus. We just have to think of the times when Jesus went into the temple and saw the people who were trying to worship, but the other people were there, they were selling and trying to make money off the people who were worshiping. Sort of like taking the offering. No, I'm just kidding. They were trying to capitalize on the worshipers. And what did Jesus do? He came in and he saw this all happening, and Jesus just went, "Oh, that's too bad. I don't know what I can do. I know I'm Jesus, but I just can't take care of that." No, what we read is, we're told Jesus made a whip from some ropes and chased them out of the temple. He drove out the sheep and cattle, scattered the money changers' coins over the floor, turned over the tables, then going over to the people who sold doves, he told them, "Get these things out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a marketplace." Wow. Does that sound like somebody who's a doormat? Somebody who just, "Oh yeah, just walk over here. Oh, I can't do it. I can't do anything about it." And then there's all those times when the Pharisees, you know, those religious leaders, those pastors of the day, confronted Jesus, and they would come up and they would try to trap him and trick him. And Jesus just said, "Oh well, that's too bad." No. That's not what happened. Jesus never backed down from the Pharisees. He was always there to say, "Here's the truth. Here's the truth." Jesus sure doesn't sound to me like someone who's a doormat, like someone who just gets pushed around and walked over. So if meek is not weakness, if it's not being the doormat, if it's not being pushed around, then what does a meek person look like? Well, the Greek word, which is translated meek, has this meaning, gentle, humble, considerate, courteous, and therefore exercises self-control. Wow, that sounds a little different than what we read before. Spineless, spiritless. Lester Markham, who used to be one of our district superintendents, expressed meekness as having a 10-ton hammer. Now, only Kevin could pick up the 10-ton hammer, but the rest of us have to imagine picking up that 10-ton hammer and coming down on a peanut, in a peanut shell, and breaking the shell, but not cracking the peanut. That is meekness. Having all that power and coming down and breaking the shell but not breaking the peanut. Someone else described meekness as an elephant who can use his trunk, which has more than 40,000 muscles in it. It's just a couple more than I've got. 40,000 muscles in his trunk, and he can uproot trees and carry large logs with them. Yet, at the same time, he can use his trunk to pick up a blade of grass or some peanuts. And you can say, this picture, is this picture not represent gentleness? Here's this huge elephant, 40,000 plus muscles in his trunk, and he reaches out his trunk and gently picks out the peanuts out of the person's hand. He has all the power to crush that hand and destroy that person completely. Yet in meekness, he doesn't. In other words, meekness is having all the power and strength, but having it and using it under total control. Under total control. It would be like being a gentle giant. A gentle giant. Can you just imagine? I was trying to get a picture of a gentle giant, couldn't find one. I actually looked at a 15-minute YouTube video of the friendly giant. How many know who the friendly giant is? Some do, some are too young. Sorry, you folks are too young. Anyhow, he's great, but I can't imagine how I managed to watch it when I was a kid. It's not near as exciting now as it was back then. But having meekness, having all that power, think of a huge giant and having all that power, but just being so gentle. That's what it's like. Being a gentle giant. So let's take some time and see what it looks like in our lives. What does meekness look like in our lives? If we are meek, it will show up when we speak and act. Being too hasty with our words and our actions are probably a couple of the easiest things to fall into. Now, I know I'm just speaking to myself here, and you folks are good with this, but, you know, we speak and act before we have thought about it. A couple of weeks ago, I got a phone call from somebody. They'd been here earlier in the morning, and I was having a conversation with them. And then later in the day, they phoned me back, and they said, "Was I too critical when I was talking to you in the morning? Was I too critical when I was talking about that situation?" And then he said, "You know, I have a bit of a problem. Far too often, I engage my mouth before I engage my mind." I thought, yeah, I think most of us can relate. We've all been there, done that. Yet in James 1 and 19, it exhorts us, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Quick to listen. I think that's why God gave us 2 ears, only 1 mouth, slow to speak. When we are not slow to speak or slow to become angry, when we're not that way, when we don't think, one of the consequences is that we can say or do something that we might quickly regret. Things that might harm us or others. These things usually harm our testimony for the kingdom. Those are times when I make my bullet like that and my wife says, "What church do you go to, Scott?" And I say, "Oh, that one over there somewhere." You know, we lack meekness if this is the way we live. We become the giant, but not so gentle. I'm sure that's why we read in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Yesterday we were at the grocery store. But how many know that Safety Mart's got this contest going? Yeah. Are you in on that? We are. You get these little coupons, and we won $1 off a bag of chips, $1 off some bananas. And we also won get 2 free tickets. So yesterday we go to the grocery store, we get our chips, we get our bananas. The contest, by the way, is over on Tuesday. I think it's Tuesday, so you better get your tickets in. But you could run groceries for a year. So we take our tickets and we get our bananas and our chips, and I've got this 2 free ticket one. So I get to the cashier, the friendly cashier that we go to every time that we're there when she's there, and I say, "I've got this ticket." And she says, "We don't have any more tickets to give out." What? My free groceries for life? That was the next ticket I was going to win. You know, I could have blown up at her. I could have freaked out. I could have just blown up. I could have destroyed her. I could have said things that might have even made her cry. I could have. I didn't. Okay, I didn't. We laughed about it. Actually, I told her what I was speaking on Sunday. I said, "This is a perfect illustration of meekness. I need to be meek here. I can't." I said, "Well, it would look really bad if I blow up at you." And then somebody came in from our church on Monday morning and said, "Oh, the pastor spoke this word on meekness and how meek he is." And she would have gone, "Really?" When we are not meek, our words can bring cruel death to those who might push our buttons. I mean, that could have pushed my buttons. It didn't. I mean, we can choke the life out of others. Someone says something about our hair, or our lack of. Someone says something about the clothes we wear. They're not fashionable, or they don't have enough rips in the jeans, or whatever. Or somebody says something about what we do, or what we did, or what we didn't do. And we can turn around and come back with quick cutting remarks and angry responses. This is not what we're called to do. Listen to the words written in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. "Do not repay evil for evil. Do not retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and He will grant you His blessings. For the scripture says, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. See, the difference between somebody who's not meek and somebody who is meek is usually the meek person will stop to consider their words and actions before they respond. When we're not meek, see, yesterday in the grocery store, I stopped and thought, I better be careful how I respond to this. But if I wasn't meek at that time, don't get me wrong, I am not the meekest person in the world. Moses was. But it says that in the Bible. But there are times when I mess up. I messed up with my wife later on that day, I think it was. Was it that day when she said something and I said to her, I quickly turned to her and said, do you hear what you're saying? And then we had this conversation where we had misunderstood each other. But I didn't respond in meekness. I remember a Sunday before, a couple Sundays ago, I said, when there's not peace in the family, there wasn't peace for a little bit. I could tell Kath was not happy. It's not what I said, it's how I said it. Let's get back on track before I get myself in big trouble. See, as we are meek, we will not be looking for revenge or retaliating to get an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth. Think of the time when the religious people came to Jesus and in tow they had a woman who was caught in adultery. Oh, they were so excited they were going to trap Jesus this time. And this woman was going to get her just punishment. So they brought her to Jesus, and they said to him, Jesus, this woman committed adultery, and the law says that she should be stoned. Now, Jesus could have blown up at them and said, hold on, Joe, you stole from Mark's market the other day. He could have done that right in front of everybody. He could have said, Charlie, remember when you kicked Martha's goat because it was eating the grass? Remember when you let your anger get out? And he could have just blasted every one of them out in public because he knew all their sins. But that's not what he did. See, Jesus said, I am gentle. I am meek, right? And what he did, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And then he stood up, and the people were still there. So he said to them, let the one who is without sin throw the first stone. And he stooped down again and wrote on the ground. See, Jesus was meek, and they started to leave one by one. He never accused anybody. He never accused the woman of adultery, and he never accused the Pharisees and the teachers of the law of their sins. And isn't that what we said meekness is? We have all the power in our words and actions to destroy someone, but instead we speak and act out of meekness, out of gentleness. We become that gentle giant. When we are slow to speak and slow to become angry, by being meek, we allow our lives to be led by the Holy Spirit, and we speak the truth in love. This is what Jesus did. He was able to reveal to those around, that were standing around, he was able to reveal to them their hypocrisy. He was able to reveal to them all their sins without destroying them. Jesus left them thinking about their own sins, not anyone else's. You can be sure when those Pharisees and teachers of the law walked away, they weren't thinking about the woman caught in adultery. They were thinking about their own sins. And he left them to think, and he gave them room to turn from their sins and repent. He didn't destroy them. The truth is, meekness is handling other people's lives with gentleness so they will become better and not be destroyed. The meek are those who do not assert themselves over others in order to further their own agenda or in their with their own strength, but instead they place all their hope in the Lord for each situation. What's our mission statement? Christ-centered, people-centered? Isn't that what this is? Meekness is putting our hope, our trust in the Lord, with centering on him so we can center on people so they can be the best they can be. They can be seal their sins maybe and welcomed into the kingdom of heaven as they repent. The meek become gentle giants. Jesus wrote in Matthew 5:5, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." What does it mean to inherit the earth? Well, we know if you read in Psalms that everything belongs to God. Psalm 24:1 would tell you that everything belongs to God. The earth and all that is in it is his, and his alone. And we also know, if we read, that as we become part of the family of God, as we come and say, "Jesus, I'm a sinner, I've really messed up, please come and forgive my sins," God invites us into the family of God. He forgives us, forgives our sins. We become his children, his adopted children, and we become joint heirs with Jesus. So if God owns it all, and Jesus is the Son and God, and we become joint heirs, then we inherit the earth. And spiritually speaking, we will inherit the earth because we live for Jesus, and we are more than conquerors, the Bible says, more than conquerors. And someday we'll rule with Jesus. We are victorious. Yet I think there's more to it than that. As we are meek, we have many opportunities to speak into the lives of those here on earth. I mean, if I'm meek, if I'm harsh, let's look at it in a negative way. If I'm harsh and I come to talk to you and I'm harsh and I want to win you for Jesus, I want you to see that you really need Jesus, but I'm really harsh, what's the chances of that happening? Not much. But see, if we're meek, we've got an opportunity. It opens a door. It opens a door. As we mentioned earlier, we have the power to destroy and bring death to everything, but in meekness, we can build up and bring life. And as we bring life to those around us, as we show meekness to those living here on the earth, they will want to know why we love them. Why do we deal with them in meekness? Well, maybe they're harsh towards us and not meek towards us. Why do we do that? Well, in 1 Peter 3 and 15, Peter exhorts, "But in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." We're not to pound people with the good news. We're not to see, it's even worse today. I mean, before we pound them with nice leather Bibles. Now if I pound you with my iPad, it might really, really hurt rather than a Bible. But we're not to pound people with the gospel and just it doesn't work. We're better dismiss that. Don't shake. We're not to just continually humiliate people by advertising their sins to the world. We don't want to bring, you know, like, we don't want to hang everybody's laundry out on the line. That's between the Lamb and God. And so it's not about us. Should we confront sin? Yes. Should we share the good news with people? Yes, we should. We should do it as a gentle giant, not breaking people, but bringing them to a life in Jesus. I was talking to somebody before the service. We actually came to the conclusion that we all have skeletons in our closets. Some are known to others, and some aren't. But should we take those skeletons and destroy the person if we know them? I mean, I told this person, if my life was flashed up on that screen and you knew everything that was about me, you would say, we don't want him for our pastor. There is no way the things he's done, you know some of them, but you don't know them all. And if you knew them all, honestly, there would be people here that would say, there's no way. How many would want Paul as a pastor? Do you know what? Paul murdered. How many would want David as a pastor? He was a murderer too. So I can say, I'm good. I'm safe. Forgiven. Forgiven. That's right. Very good. And I'm forgiven. In fact, you know, I'm more forgiven by God than I am by the country. I have a pardon for my criminal record. Now you're going, uh-oh. I have a pardon for my criminal record. But when I go fill out certain forms at government agencies, they want to know if I was ever charged with a criminal offense. Well, I was, but I'm pardoned, so it should be gone. It should be wiped clean. But Jesus has forgiven my sins, even those the ones the government hasn't. Jesus is bigger than the government. But he's forgiven my sins, and he doesn't use them to destroy me. He uses them to bring me in to the family of God, and he forgives my sins and everyone's sins as they come to him. Being weak is not something that comes natural to any of us. It's not like, oh yeah, it's just so easy to be meek. When somebody comes and goes, you can ask my family if meekness comes easy to me. It's much easier to be a giant in a in a china shop. And my wife read that, and she said, you know it's a bull in a china shop, don't you? And I said, yeah, but we're talking about a giant, and it's the same thing. I just imagine in picture this big giant crashing through the china shop. Well, let me pick up that cup. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying. It's much easier to bear a giant in the cup in the china shop. Meekness comes to us when we rely on the Holy Spirit to guide our lives in every area. We need to be Christ-centered first before we can be people-centered. If we are not centered on Christ, we will be never centered on people. We will never have their best interest. And that's why in Galatians 5, chapter 5, 22 to 23 declares, and you folks all know this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And the Greek word for gentleness here is this, that which can also be translated meekness. Notice the wording of this statement, of this verse, though. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Don't try saying it without looking at it. Do you notice the wording, though? Whose fruit is it? Is it our fruit? No, it's not. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's only ours when we give our lives to Jesus, when we trust in Him. Then it becomes part of our lives. Then His Holy Spirit fills us and leads us. May our lives be filled with meekness of the Holy Spirit so that we will not crush or break anyone. We will be gentle giants. In those times, we will be blessed. We will be blessed. We will be truly happy. Why? Because we get to share the love of our life, the love of Jesus with those around us in meekness. And God's fruit will rule in our lives. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so blessed to be called your children. Lord, we ask that you would continue to work in our lives. We are far from perfect. And we're so thankful for this Sermon on the Mount, and as we're going to look at it for the next weeks. And Lord, we want to live life in your kingdom that will bring glory to you. And we know as we're poor in spirit, and as we mourn, and as we are meek, we will bless you and bring glory and honor to you. And in turn, you bless us. You make us truly happy. You turn the world upside down. Father, we open our hearts to you. Do work in our lives. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.